Okay, we're holding in Ein Yaakov. We'll get there. We're holding in Ein Yaakov the Kuf Beis Amud Beis in the standard edition. This is between Samach Beis and Samach Gimel in the Gemara. The Mishnah had said that one should not make Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. He shouldn't go into the temple and spit. You don't make it into a spittoon. If you have extra phlegm, you don't spit on Har HaBayis. You don't do that on Har HaBayis. Amar Rav Beivai, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Beivai quoted Rav Yeshua ben Levi. We know Rav Yeshua ben Levi is the one who outsmarted the angel of death and entered the Garden of Eden while still alive, holding on to the sword of the angel of death. Kol ha-rokek ba-rabayit bezman hazeh, kilu rokek bevateino. Someone who spits on the Temple Mount today, it's as though he spits, so to speak, in the eye of the Omnipotent. Sh'neimar v'yu einai v'libi sham kol ha-yamim, because God describes in the book of Melachim, the Temple Mount is described as a place where Hashem says, my eyes and heart are there for eternity. So the Pasuk tells you that God's presence is felt on the Temple Mount forever. It doesn't matter if the temple is up or destroyed. So you're not supposed to spit when you're up there.
And some picture of Arab children playing soccer there.
Oh. So, let's see. Amar Rava, Rekika bebet ha-Knesset Sharia, Midi dehave aminal. Ma minal bar bayit asur bebet ha-Knesset Mutar, af Rekika bar bayit asur bebet ha-Knesset Sharia. Rava says, you're allowed to spit in a shul, just like you're allowed to wear your shoes to shul. You don't wear your shoes on Har HaBayis, and yet you do wear your shoes in shul. So then just because you can't spit on Har HaBayis doesn't mean you shouldn't spit in shul. Amar le Rav Papa le Rava, so now Rav Papa, who was Rava's disciple, he said to him, V'amri la Ravina le Rava, V'amri la Ravida bar Matna le Rava. Different quotes, who was the one who said this to Rava? Adi alif miminal, nedif mi kapandaria. Why do you have to derive it from wearing shoes? Why don't you just derive it from the halacha of taking a shortcut? If you're not supposed to take a shortcut through Har HaBayis, but you could take a shortcut through a shul. We're going to see in a second you can't. But he's going with the understanding that you could. Amali tani alif mi minal v'atam mekampandaria. He said to him, what do you want? You're the one who's funny, because the Mishnah, the Braisa, derives it from wearing shoes. You want me to derive it from a different source? Mayhi. The Gemara says, where do you have a Braisa? That way, the Tanya. The Braisa says, lo yikanes adam l'arabayit lo maklo shebiyado. A person shouldn't enter the Temple Mount with a stick that he carries out of honor, ולא במינלו שברגלו, nor with his shoes, ולא במות הצורים לו בסדינו, nor you shouldn't carry a stick over your back with money wrapped in it, ובפונדתו מופשלת לאחוריו, a person shouldn't have his פונדתו, which is a money belt, you shouldn't toss your money belt behind you. Imagine a guy walking up to Har HaBayis, and he has one of those big belts tossed over his shoulders. That's not a respectable way to go up there. Velo yasena kapandaria urkika mikal vachomer miminal. You shouldn't use the Temple Mount as a shortcut, and you cannot spit on the Temple Mount. You derive it as a fortiori from the fact that you're not allowed to wear shoes. Uma minan shen boderch bizayon. Wearing shoes, there's no disgrace in wearing shoes, and nonetheless, Amrat Torah, the Torah says, shal nalecha mal raglecha. God tells Moshe, you're in a respectful place, take off your shoes. Spitting is something that's shameful. Lo kol shiken, certainly you shouldn't be able to do that in the Temple Mount. So if that's the derivation, so then I'm allowed to wear my shoes in a shul, I should also be allowed to spit in a shul. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer, eno tzarich, hare omer, ki en avol shar melech bilbush sak. He says, we could derive it from elsewhere. It says in the Megillah, that Mordechai could not approach the king's palace with sackcloth. Sack is something that people aren't disgusted by. If someone's wearing sack, nonetheless, we say, don't do that next to the king's palace. But spitting in front of people, that's not nice. So people are disgusted when you're suddenly like, you know, he's going to spit in front of you. So everyone's like disgusted. So certainly that should not be done in front of the King of Kings. Now, this halacha applies, we don't relieve ourselves facing a shul. a person shouldn't be standing next to a shul. He needs a modest place, so he goes to the side of a shul and he relieves himself against the wall of the shul or facing the shul. So that's not towards the shul. That's just a toilet. It's a separate room. The idea is, you're standing behind a room, you're standing behind the shul, and you figure, I'll go modestly and I'll just relieve myself there. No, you're not supposed to relieve yourself by facing towards the shul. And there's a famous story, I don't remember whose graveyard it was. One of the tzaddikim, a prince was passing by his grave, and this was during the period of the Crusades, and he said, a Jewish grave, perfect place. And he got off his horse, and he started relieving himself on the grave of that tzaddik. And he didn't stop. And he couldn't get himself to stop. And he was sure he was going to die. And they ran to the rabbi in that city, and the rabbi said, if you kiss the grave and you ask his forgiveness, then maybe if you promise that you will treat Jews fairly and kindly, then maybe you'll be cured. And he was. And there's a continuation to the story where he actually saved someone later on during the Crusades. I don't remember the complete story, but that's a part of the story. That's the part I remember. So at any rate, obviously, that's we're spitting at something, urinating on something. These are all acts of degradation, and we don't do it when it comes to things that we respect. Harabayas, we don't even relieve ourselves any place you could see Harabayas, only in an enclosed area. Mishnah. Now we're up to the Mishnah. We're at the end of Tractate Brachos. Kol chotmei brachot shebamikdash yomrim ad olam. When they'd make a blessing in the temple, they'd say, blessed are you Hashem, King of the universe, to the end of the world. Mishekilkilu aminim amru en olam ela echad. But then you had some apostates who started saying, yeah, to the end of the world. There's one world. And when that ends, God ends. And it's all over. So hitkinu, so the rabbis instituted that when you make blessings in the temple, sheyu umrim, the people would say, min olam vad olam. That when they make blessings in the temple, they'd say, blessed are you Hashem, our God, the King of the world, from this world to the world to come. So that would already encompass that there is a world to come. Vehitkinu sheyeh adam shoel et shalom chavro b'shem. The rabbis also instituted that a person should greet his friend with the name of God. Chazal wanted that out of honor for our fellow man, we will use God's name. God's name is peace. The word shalom comes from the word shalem, wholeness, peace, is Hashem's name. And we greet one another with the word shalom. Sheneemar, as it says, v'hine voaz ba mi bet lechem v'yomer lakotzerim Hashem imachem v'yomer ulo yevarechecha Hashem. Boaz comes from Beis Lechem. He tells the harvesters, Hashem be with you. And they say, may Hashem bless you. V'omer, and we find the same idea again. The angel shows up by Gidon and tells him, Hashem imecha gibor echayil. God is with you. So he greets him with God's name, V'omer. And the verse says in Mishle, in Proverbs, Al tavuz ki zakena imecha. Don't scorn as your mother gets old, even though these are ancient Jewish things. But the ancient Jewish things should not be scorned. You see, our elders used God's name, and if they used it in greeting, obviously they were teaching us something. Ve'omer, and we have another verse that teaches us, Et lasot Hashem eferu torotecha. There are times where we have to institute things in honor of Hashem, even though they seem to annul the Torah. So even though it would seem to be against the Torah's approach, that you use God's name in vain, you use God's name to greet someone, they saw it necessary at that time to make the institution, and we have this concept that there are times where it's necessary in the honor of Hashem to undo a certain idea or concept from Torah, and you understand that's a very dangerous concept. So then maybe we should drive on Shabbos. Maybe we should make Judaism easier, not have to eat kosher in these generations, right? So what are the limitations of that? So the general idea is that to know and to properly understand the application of this, you need the highest court of the land to apply this. And that's really what happened here. You see that Boaz did it. Boaz was the chief justice of the highest court in the land. So they have the tradition to understand when and how to apply this. This is also the idea behind the whole writing of the oral law, meaning this idea of you have to do it for the sake of God, even though it goes against the biblical concept. Well, when the highest court of the land, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and his court comes and says, we have to write the oral law, so they saw it's do or die. But they could call such a shot. That's not something that someone else could call on. Rabbi Natan omer, refer to otcha mishumet lasot l'shem. Rabbi Natan says, flip the pasuk. We know an aspect of the Torah because it's a time that we must do on behalf of Hashem. Gemara. So we said that when they'd make a blessing in the temple, so they'd say, blessed is Hashem from this world to the world to come. Kol kach lama. Why is it that they went this far to stress Hashem is here from this world to the world to come? In the temple, no one answered Amen. So, certain things had to be spelled out, as we'll see in a second. So, they didn't answer Amen. In the temple, people didn't show that they agreed. So, when you say Amen, what you're really saying is the blessing's true, God runs the world. If I know that the blessing's true, but I didn't say it, I didn't say Amen, which stands for Kel Melech Ne'eman. Amen means I agree, but Kel Melech Ne'eman is the potent king is trustworthy. That's the part of the idea of Amen. So if in the temple you're not saying Amen, what are you saying? We'll see in a second. They'd say, Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuto, Leolam Va'ed. So, here, that's their way of declaring Hashem runs the world. Uminayin Shein Onin Amen B'Mikdash. How do you know they didn't answer Amen? Shenemar, we have the following story. In the book of Ezra, they come back, they rebuild the temple, and then they declare, Kumu Baruch Hashem Elokechem Min HaOlam V'Ad HaOlam. So he says, everyone should arise and bless Hashem your God from this world to the world to come. Here we have the source for this idea. Then in the temple, when they'd bless Hashem, they'd say, Elokeinu, not Melech HaOlam, but Min HaOlam V'Ad HaOlam. Melech HaOlam, Min HaOlam V'Ad HaOlam. From this world to the world to come. V'omer, what does it say? V'ivachu Shem Kvodcha U'mumam Kol Bracha U'Tehila. So, the verse says, may your name be blessed. What did the people respond? They didn't answer Amen. They all responded, Vivachu Shem Kvodcha. That's like Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto. That was their response. Yachol kol habachot kulan telen tehila achat. Talmud umar umumam al kol bracha utila al kol bracha ubracha ten lo tehila. You might think all the blessings have one form of praise. Maybe on everything you say, you should say, Shehakol ni abidvaro. Why do you make a different blessing on everything? No, our sages said every blessing has to have its own unique form of praise, and the response also has to be unique, corresponding to the blessing. So here, this obviously needs a little bit of work. So then their Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto also included a specification. Now that's an interesting concept. Think about it. What would be if today you made a blessing, Boremine Mezonos? And the guy answering Amen would say, Amen, Boremine Mezonos. Kel Melech Ne'eman, Boremine Mezonos. Wouldn't that carry more weight? Wouldn't you think more about what your Amen is saying? And this brings us to a whole new concept, which we'll develop in the remaining 2 minutes. What happens when you say Amen? So Chazal tell us that the Amen is the completion of the blessing. And this has a halachic implication. We say that when you make a blessing of Hamotzi on bread, you're not supposed to start cutting the bread till everyone finished saying Amen. Why? Because your blessing did not conclude till they said Amen. So this gives us a new understanding as to what the connection between a blessing and Amen is. It's not just that the audience is affirming what I'm saying. There are times in halacha where we say we are partners in the blessing. It's not just I say, blessed be Hashem, and everyone says, amen. Very good. No. It's that they are becoming a partner in my blessing with me, and I didn't finish till they took up their partnership. Yeah.
If somebody would say a blessing, there's nobody around, so would you say the blessing is not finished?
That's a good question. So one aspect of the blessing was not concluded.
So you don't agree with the mitzvah, or it's like...
You fulfilled it as best as you could in that scenario.
So it's better to say when you were with people around you. So wait until you're with more people.
There is that benefit. We're out of time. No, we're not out of time. That watch is running fast. We have another 2 minutes.
So when there are people around, you should always make a point of saying it out loud.
If you could say it out loud, you benefited, yes. But let's develop this one step further. What did you guys say this morning that you're going to say again tonight? Thank you. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Did you ever stop to think, what are you saying Shema Yisrael for?
Yes.
Good. So there are two understandings in Shema Yisrael. One understanding is, the Medrash Rabbah says, we're making a declaration to our patriarch Yisrael, Jacob, and we're saying, hey, Father Jacob, look, we're still faithful. Shema Yisrael, just like the brothers, just like his 12 sons said to him on his deathbed, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we as a congregation are making that declaration again. But there's another understanding, and that is that you are saying it to the people around you when there are people around you. Shema Yisrael, listen, Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, notice the multiple term, Hashem, our God, Hashem Echad, He is one. I made a declaration to everyone. Technically, the Shulchan Aruch says when we say Shema, we should say it out loud. Everyone in Shul should say it out loud. So then you have a concept of Hamlachat HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kabbalat Ol Malchut. Two concepts. One is, I accept that He is King over the world. The other concept is, I declare that He is King over the world. Two concepts in the same statement. One is my acceptance, the other is my declaration vis-a-vis the crowd. Now let's go to the bracha. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam shakol ni'a bidvaro. I say, blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the world, that everything came to be in His say-so. I accepted, I declared. They answered, my declaration is complete. We're partners. You guys with me? So that's the beginning of a thought which we'll develop as much in the future.